Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Do you think that if you and your sister had had the same opportunity and were forced to eat with your parents every single night, it would have been a good or a bad outcome?
Oh, that's a tough question.
Yeah. I wonder where I would be now if I had that type of learning. But if I look back on my childhood, my learning came from being able to read at night. I was allowed to read as long as I wanted to, and I didn't stay up late. But I was encouraged to read.
Yes.
And I was encouraged to go out into the neighborhood. So getting on my bike,
and
getting my rollerblades. Yes.
Of course.
Yes.
Go get daddy a pack of smokes.
Oh, yeah.
Got to earn, right?
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
All righty, then. Plausibly live, and from an as-yet undisclosed, and we're going to disclose it at some point pretty soon, within the next month or so, an undisclosed location on the third floor in Chevy Chase, Maryland. We're on the air with Tori Clark and David Aldridge and Michael Kornheiser, and Nigel's here to run the board. Barry's Verluga will join us in a little while. I will plug Chad's early on, say all of our TVs are in. We have a lot of TVs, and they are big TVs, and we would welcome your presence watching all the conference tournaments. If you don't have a seat downtown to the Big Ten, you know, you have a seat at Chad's. If you don't have a seat in Brooklyn to the ACC, you have a seat at Chad's. And Big East the same way. So that's my plug for that. And now I'm going to start with, I mean, there are some things that we're going to do, but I have a bad back at the moment. Mm. Yesterday, I went to the trainer, to Helen, and one of the things she had me do in a warm-up mode was to step up onto, you know, a box of some sort, step up, step down, step up, step down. Mm-hmm. And at one point, holding very light weights in my hand, she had me step up and raise the weights.
50s?
Sixes.
56s.
Very light weights in my hand. And
it's the repetition, not
about
the weight.
About the same Michael. Weight of a chicken. Right. You know, a chicken.
And you can replace the weights with a chicken if you would like.
Exactly.
Lots and I felt the lower part of my back on the left-hand side, I felt something grab. Now, not excruciating pain, but something grabbing. I went through the rest of the exercises, and I was fine. I didn't feel it until I got in the car to go downtown to do the PTI show, at which time I could not find any sort of comfort. Standing, walking, sitting, I could not find any. I took a whole bunch of Advil. I took some Advil this morning. I tried to sleep with a heating pad last night, and there's – it's not excruciating pain, but it occurred to me that, Tori and David, I would ask the same thing. Do you have a bad back ever?
Yes, I do.
Tori, do you have a bad back ever?
Yes.
I would say this, that you can have a broken ankle. You can be Andrew Bogut and your leg can snap for no reason at all. Your leg can just snap
off. Which people can hear.
You can have bad wrists. Your shoulders can hurt. You have all of those things. Your neck, and my neck hurt. My neck doesn't hurt now because my back hurts instead of my neck because a back pain is different. Mm-hmm. The back informs everything. It's just, right?
Yep. Yep.
Your back.
Yes.
Yeah. Everything.
Everything.
Once a simple maneuver now is like a 15-point, you know, 17-minute process.
And you get afraid of what you're going to do next.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So you're so hesitant. You're so robotic. It's just to settle into a seat. I don't have back problems like Gary and Kip Scheman.
Yeah, both.
They've had Have you had operations on your back?
No.
What is your back circumstance?
It just hurts. My lower back hurts a lot, frequently.
One side or another, most of the time, or just the lower area?
In the middle, right in the middle.
Yeah, mine is mostly on the left. What is yours?
Okay, true story. Many years ago, I was 18. I was in a bar/restaurant with my friends in Florida. And I'm sitting, as I often did, I have to get off the microphone. I'm sitting like this in the chair.
Slumped. She's now slumped all the way down. She's reclining as if it is Passover, which was not celebrated in Dr. Clark's house.
And my hand would be like this. Right?
Yeah, all
okay?
Like, okay.
And this very nice fella, you know, well-dressed in his 50s, comes over and he goes, I am so sorry to do this. He says, I'm an orthopedic surgeon. He goes, I beg you. Please do not sit in chairs like that all the time. Because if you do, then when you're my age in your 50s, you're going to have a bad back. Bingo.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So I do. But I have something for you. Just a week or so ago, I was complaining to one of our vets to whom I sent all my retirement funds, right? About my back hurting. And it's just every once in a while it happens. And it's because I don't do what I'm supposed to do. And I don't stand up straight. And I don't do the PT and everything else. And one of our horses has a bad back as well. And he goes, you need to get, and I got it. It's called Pure Wave. Sure. It is a device.
Tranquilizer.
No, tranquilizer.
A device, it's a mechanical.
It's like a wand, and it's got different attachments to it, and you massage the parts of your body that don't feel well. It is spectacular.
And they sell these for
under
horses?
$100 on Amazon. They're actually for people, but now they're using them on horses because you think horses have these long backs. They are subject to back problems.
So
as
it's
well.
A back scratcher for $100 bucks.
So Dusty and I are sharing, and
Dusty.
We love it. We love it. But it's under $100 on Amazon.
Fantastic.
I can endorse it completely.
Say, what is it called?
Pure Wave.
Pure Wave.
Not the Nationals, Dusty. Just to right. Just so
correct.
Clear.
I tried the heating pad last night, and I put it up scalding. And then what happens with a heating pad is it sort of clicks off after a while because it doesn't want you to burn yourself while you're asleep.
Have you tried the Shaquille O'Neal ones?
The Salon Pass.
Yeah.
I've tried those. I tried those on my neck last week. It didn't work. Have you tried them?
Yeah.
No relief? Nothing?
Sometimes. You stretch, right?
Yeah, I get down on the ground every morning and do an awful lot of stretching. Okay. But when your back hurts, it hurts to stretch.
I know, but stretching helps. Stretching helps me anyway.
But you're supposed to warm up a little bit before you stretch, you know.
Yes. That's
so
true.
Walk around briskly.
No, I warm up in the sense that I say to the dog, get out of here. Stop licking my face. Stop.
Good.
Could you let me get down on the ground and do
the vocal cords are
by myself. And Michael, you're too young. You don't have a bad back.
No bad back. Left wrist hurts a little bit if I play too much golf, but I've been lucky with back so far.
Yeah. Your wrist, it's not, back is...
Now, do you steam regularly?
No, I do not.
The steam room might help.
Yeah, well, heat is good. Heat is your friend.
Yeah.
Heat is your friend. Cold, they say, is your friend, but heat is definitely... Yeah,
cold's not really your friend.
So when
cold
you,
says it's your friend, but it's not really your friend.
When you have... Yeah, I don't understand why people go in those cold tubs. I just think that's craziness.
Well, it's for muscles. It
takes the inflammation out.
Yeah.
So... When I have a bad back or when something is wrong with me, I don't sleep well normally, but I really don't sleep at all. And I get up, and there are times, sometimes you can go, I lay in bed and I try to go back to sleep and I doze off for 10 minutes at a shot, but nothing consequential. And I don't know if this happens to you. A song will get in my head.
Mm.
A song will get in my head and rattle around in my head, and there's nothing I can do to stop the song. There's just nothing. And this morning at 3:08, that song was Love Will Keep Us Together by the Captain and Tennille. And I could not get rid of it. And I could not go back to sleep. And I hate that song with a passion of 10,000 suns at the moment.
Wow.
Hate that song. And that... Does this not happen to you?
No, it doesn't. I'm so sorry for you.
Does it not happen to you? Well, you get a song in your
sometimes
head?
Sometimes you get a song in your head, yes, and you can't get it out of your head. Yes, and it repeats over and over and
over. Over and over and over, too.
I have a trick, like Tori has tricks.
Shoot yourself?
No. I'm telling you, this works. If that ever happens again, what you do is you start humming to yourself the theme to the old Tonight Show. I'm telling you, knocks it right out. And you totally forget what
you... Do you know who wrote that?
Paul Anka.
Yes. Paul Anka wrote the theme to the
Tonight
Show.
He probably Paul wrote Anka. The Captain
He also wrote My
song.
Way. No. Do you know that? Do you remember the name of the captain? Who I don't think
Darryl
is alive
Dragon.
Anymore.
Yes.
It wasn't Steuben?
No, Darryl
Dragon. Darryl Dragon.
Irish.
I don't think he's alive anymore.
Did the captain die?
I.
She's still alive. Tony Tennille.
Tony Tennille is still alive. They became big stars for an hour and a half.
She
they had their own variety show.
She was a songwriter, right? Wasn't she a writer?
I don't know.
Captain Tennille trivia. What was the big faux pas of the Queen?
Oh. Brutal. That song is brutal. It's not that it's a terrible song. It's that I have sung it to myself 1,000 times since 3:08 in the morning.
What was the big Captain Tennille faux pas before the Queen of England?
They didn't curtsy.
Who, by the way, who chose them to sing for the Queen of England?
They grabbed hands.
They sang Muskrat Love, which was considered a little, you know.
Muskrat love.
Yeah, it was considered a little inappropriate to be singing in front of the Queen of England.
Two muskrats.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
Doing what muskrats do.
I think Daryl Dragon's gone.
Daryl Frank Dragon.
Thank you.
You get extra points for the middle name. Still signing.
Really?
Yes. Oh. We'll be 75 this August 27th.
They're no longer married, I believe. But I already had wrong that he was dead. So
yes, I see a divorce in the Wikipedia.
Yes,
I
just, and he's still wearing his hat. He wore the hat all the time because he was
the captain. Hello, he's the captain. By the way, in very, very local weather news, Chuck Bell had the shortest vacation in the history of mankind back on the set today.
There you go. Feeling a little heat?
Because somebody said Wally Pipp.
Right.
Intervention
from an agent.
Chuck Bell back in the saddle. So last night, two things happened in sports that I wanted to talk about. I'm happy to have David here for one of them, and that is Andrew Bogut breaking his leg. Oh, so we will start with this. Andrew Bogut.
1 minute.
58 seconds, I believe.
1 minute of basketball.
The general manager of the Cleveland Cavaliers, LeBron James, got three deals in the last month. Each one looked good. Mm-hmm. Taken in total, they looked great. Mm-hmm. They picked up Kyle Korver, who is, I'm sorry, by the numbers, the best three-point shooter in all of basketball. Mm-hmm. They picked up Deron Williams, who isn't what he was, mm-hmm. but his playoff numbers, his career playoff numbers are 19-8. Mm-hmm. These are pretty good numbers. And they picked up Andrew Bogut, who's big and strong, and they prevented him from going back to Golden State, where he could have really helped them a lot. And you watch those three things, and you said, you know what? Right now, especially without Durant, they're better. Mm-hmm. They're the best team. Andrew Bogut on the floor, literally 58 seconds, breaks his leg, and LeBron says,
I heard it.
Right. Right.
Oh. Wow.
So I'm watching TV today, and somebody says, you know, well, if they get him back by the end of the season, and I think, wait, no. he broke his leg.
No, it's a broken leg.
He's not coming back by the end of the season.
You know, he's a tough Aussie, but boy, I tell you, I don't see him coming back. I mean, I'd be very surprised. It's, you know what?
It doesn't kill them. No, they're still the best.
It doesn't. The one deal of those three that is Korver, that's the one that puts them over the top because now they're impossible to guard. They were impossible to guard anyway. Now they're extremely impossible to guard because you've got 3 3-point shooters and LeBron. It's just, I don't know how you, there's no way you can guard them. You can just hope they miss. That's all you can do.
If Kevin Durant is not 100%, mm-hmm. and at the moment, it's not like he's coming back in a month. No, 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 no. After 1 month, they will look at him for the first time.
It's probably 6 weeks, I would imagine. If end of the regular season.
He's their best player all around.
Yeah.
And if they don't have him healthy, they cannot win.
Oh, well, they can win, Tony.
They can beat Cleveland?
Sure. They beat Cleveland 2 years ago with that same team, basically. I mean, they can beat them. It's just that their margin for error goes down to zero. I mean, they have to play perfect.
I mean, I would favor Cleveland at that point.
Sure, sure. You would favor Cleveland going in. But no, I mean, they're still a great team. I mean, it's just so odd to see Curry and Thompson miss.
For a couple of weeks.
For 3 years.
Yeah, for a couple of weeks. Yeah. Both missing at the same time. So the other thing I wanted to get to, and you know how you you just sort of
flipping.
Troll around.
Surfing.
And I landed on my dial 851, mm-hmm. which is ESPN2.
That's right.
And I love that you call it a dial.
Well, whatever. It's a dial. So on 850, there was the Southern Conference Final
SoCon
game,
yeah.
Which, you know, didn't have as much allure for me as other games
did.
East Tennessee State at 1 point in the second half scored, I think, 100 points in a row. Mm-hmm. And the game was over. Now I move one up the dial, and I land on, and I'm not going to normally stay, I land on women's basketball. I wait for the fuzz on the, as it gets more into focus, because I don't see it at first. And I see, oh, it's UConn. And then I look at the score. This is the final of their conference tournament. They're playing the University of South Florida, which has a record of 24-7.
That means they're good.
Pretty good.
24-7 is their record. You got to think they're pretty good.
Yeah.
At the moment I land on it, somebody hits a three-pointer for UConn, and it is 100-37.
Oh.
It is 63 points.
Oh.
UConn, I don't think, scored after that. And South Florida scored 5 or 6 or 7. It is 100-37. And they tell you that now the UConn bench, no starters.
Right.
They're not in. It's like five minutes to go, and it's 100-37. Wow. Nobody who's ever played a minute is in the game. Those people are now in the game. The starters are gone. And they informed me that Katie Lou Samuelson has gone 10 for 10 from three. 10 for 10. Nobody's, not man, not woman, not child, not muskrat. Nobody has ever gone 10 for 10.
Wow. 10 for 10. How about that?
It's a 24 win team.
Wow.
And by the way, they graduated like three All-Americans, right?
I know.
How does... It's amazing.
Tori has her hand up, Tom.
I have a question about UConn. And I didn't see that, but I was watching them a week or so ago. And I just thought, it can't be that much fun. I realize everybody likes to win, right? But you like to have some competition along the way.
So no one There's will just even challenge me. Yes.
They're in a completely different league.
What do you want them to do?
I don't know. No. I don't know.
I mean, I'm assuming their second
string. Play with
string,
one arm type.
Yeah, their second string, which didn't appear to be any good at all.
Right.
I will bet you their second string, if they played 40 minutes a game, would win 30 games.
Of course they would.
Wow.
Of course they would.
Yeah.
If you could, in any given year, if you say there's the 10 best high school players in the country, I guarantee you he gets four of them every year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
At least.
Right? Three or four?
He may get more.
Maybe more. But yeah.
The girls who graduated last year, one of them was the four-time player
Brianna
of the
Stewart.
Year.
Yeah, Brianna Stewart. Yeah.
They're better. It's really actually not possible. And I like Gino. I do. I like Gino.
Too.
But he's standing there with 3 minutes
Smart
to go like
out.
He's
like
upset.
That.
Like what?
Sure.
Like he's upset.
How'd we let them get to 30?
They couldn't have been caught. If you got left and there was nobody out there for 20 minutes, they were up 55 points.
Oh, timeout. What are you doing?
Like, what? Okay. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Barry Zwerluga will join us. I am Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
We're going to do the Blue Apron ad, but we're going to do the other side of the Blue Apron ad.
Right. Side
they
B?
Print, they, yeah, they mm-hmm. print two different sides, and we've never done this. I'm just going to read it. Blue Apron is the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. Blue Apron's mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone. Blue Apron achieves this by supporting a more sustainable food system, setting the highest standards for ingredients, and building a community of home chefs. Blue Apron has established partnerships with over 150 local farms, fisheries, and ranchers across the United States. And as a result, seafood is sourced sustainably. Say that 10 times. Mm-hmm. Seafood is sourced sustainably. That's why I do the other
That's
side.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Under standards developed in partnership with the Monterey Bay Aquarium Seafood Watch, beef, chicken, and pork come from responsibly raised animals. Produce is sourced from farms that practice regenerative farming. Blue Apron can be delivered to 99% of the continental United States and 99.5% of food deserts. I got to ask this question.
Ask
I haven't read this copy before. Well, it can be delivered to 99% of the continental United States. Where can it be? I want to find out.
Chevy
What's
Chase.
The one? Yeah,
unfortunately.
Right. Yeah.
I have a question about responsibly raised animals. Does that mean they don't break the laws? Or
yeah, I guess. I don't know.
Good parents.
They don't drink and drive. Because Blue Apron ships the exact amount of each ingredient required for recipe, they're reducing food waste. That's true.
Yes.
Cooking together builds strong family bonds. Research shows that Blue Apron families cook nearly three times more often. You're reordering.
We are.
You're re-upping.
We liked it. We liked it a lot. It's just that we travel a lot. And so three or four meals a week was too many.
Yeah.
But now we're re-upping.
Those who spend a lot at restaurants or at high-end grocery chains can now spend under $10 per person for a delicious meal. And upcoming featured meals, salmon piccata with orzo and broccoli, pork
Sounds
chops
good.
And miso butter with bok choy and
miso
marinated
butter.
Apple, vegetable chili and baked sweet potatoes with crispy tortilla strips and spicy shrimp, coconut curry with cabbage and rice. And those of you who know my eating habits, I would eat none of those, except if I made them myself, I would completely eat them. All right, check out this week's menu. Get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/Tony K. You will love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. Don't wait. That's blueapron.com/Tony K. I'm happy that I read the other side today. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
The song is called Wind Anchor. The band is called The National Parks. Jack Branley, who's listened to the show for a long time in Salt Lake City, sent it in because it's his kid's band, National Parks. His kid is the drummer. The particular song has 3 million listens on Spotify. Awesome. Very nice. It's Wind lovely. Anchor by the National Parks. Playing in Barry's Verluga. Barry's Verluga now knows what it's like to be a big city columnist. That you have to, every day, you know, you get a turn at bat, you got to do something a little bit different. So you have to be cognizant of everything that's going on. So Barry goes from the Redskins to the Capitals to the Wizards to Maryland to the learner's payroll system and stuff like that. But I'm going to spin the wheel of fortune and I'm going to land on Jay Gruden today. And you wrote about this very well yesterday. What is your sense of this extension for Jay Gruden, including all the sort of wild, and I hesitate to call it reporting, it just might be speculation, that it's not even meaningful at all, that it's an extension in name only, and it's nothing is even guaranteed. What do you hear? What do you know?
Well, yeah, I mean, the particulars of whether things are guaranteed or not, I don't know. I'll take it at face value that the guy was granted 2 years beyond what his contract had been, which was through 2018. And let's just say he's guaranteed to be paid through 2020 now. My take on this, and this is, you know, you can get hesitant about going down this road, because if you go down the road that I'm going down, which is essentially saying that all the minutia, and that's really what it is, just kind of transactional minutia that we deal with this franchise. And that could include everything from, are they going to sign one or two of these free agent wide receivers that they have, that they've had for the last couple of years, to who are the coordinators, who are they pursuing as coordinators, to whether the coach is extended or not. In a way, all of that is nonsense and doesn't matter when you look at the history of this franchise. And now we're not even talking. I used to think I phrased it as like recent history. Well,
no,
you know, is a quarter of a century recent history? I mean, that's a generation in this town.
Yeah.
There's now an adult generation in this town that has no idea what it's like for the football team to be a power and be a force and be respected and have any sort of consistent winning product on the field, a consistent, confident air about it off the field.
Oh, there's an air about it off the field. It's just,
there's an air.
Yeah.
There's an air.
There's an air.
But it's downwind of it.
It gets tiring, and I certainly have been duped and tricked before into thinking, well, okay, now they've made such and such a hire, and that's going to provide a buffer between the football operations and ownership, and this is going to give them a chance to be good over a sustained period of time. That hasn't happened. It's not going to happen with this ownership. I'm just convinced now that not only are they not going to win consistently with this owner, they can't win consistently with this owner, if that makes sense.
So let me get to the particulars. I mean, that's the overview, and I understand it, and I think that would get a sympathetic response from about 75% of the people who care about the team. But the particulars of signing Gruden, because we talked about this yesterday, and I have a myopic view of this, that it has to be about Kirk Cousins, because it doesn't make any sense. The guy's 21-26-1.
Yeah.
There is nothing that screams out, extend me. There's nothing that screams out, fire me, but there's nothing that screams out, extend me. And I find myself, excuse me for coughing, I find myself in the same position that I was last year with Kirk Cousins, where people said, you have to sign me, you have to sign me. I said, well, I think you could wait 1 year. You could franchise him 1 year. You got to make sure. And I feel the same way about Jay Gruden. But unless you tell me something different, I assume that you announce this so that you put your team on equal footing with the Los Angeles Rams and the San Francisco 49ers, whose coaches are former offensive coordinators for the Redskins who worked with Kirk Cousins and whose coaches have 4 to 6 years. If there's some other reason, tell me.
No. I think that's the best case scenario. And if you want to believe in how the Redskins are going about this, then that's the take that you fall back on. Now, I don't know. Someone knows. I don't know exactly who Kirk Cousins places most of his faith or has the most admiration for, or has the best working relationship with of those three coaches that you mentioned, Jay Gruden, Sean McVay, his most recent offensive coordinator, and the offensive coordinator under whom he became a starter,
right,
and Kyle Shanahan, the coordinator who was here when he was drafted. So if his relationship with Gruden is in fact excellent, then yes, then extending him makes complete sense if you're trying to sign Cousins long term, because you know, when you're in year one of a rebuilding situation like Shanahan and McVay are in San Francisco and Los Angeles respectively, you have a lot more security,
sure,
inherently than somebody entering year four of a 5-year deal. Now, I also think one of the reasons that I think this is just kind of a ruse, the extension is kind of, look over here while we do something fancy moment, is because does anybody think that just the fact that he's under contract through 2020 means he can't be fired after this coming year? I mean,
it's just a payout, just money.
Franchise extended Donovan McNabb mid-season of a year when he was benched for the final three games and never was seen in town again. So Cousins is sure a factor, but does it really change anything in the big picture? I'm not sure of that.
It's so great because there's just the franchise is used to doing what I would now probably label either a February or a March surprise. Mm-hmm. Not just this, but the one where they forced Gruden to say that Robert Griffin was going to start. Mm-hmm. And I don't think he started any games after that. Mm-hmm. And Gruden always liked this guy. I think there's another play in this, and it's the elephant that's not actually in the room. Does Gruden get along with McLuhan? Does McLuhan have any future here whatsoever? Whatsoever?
It's hard to imagine. I mean, so Scott McLuhan was hired to be the football guy. This is he had his skeletons, but this was at heart, we were told, somebody who just loved poring over film, who loved meeting with potential players, who loved, looking in their eyes and seeing their soul, the soul of a linebacker and all this kind of stuff.
And loved his 100-year-old grandmother, too, I should add.
Sure. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So he, when the guy who is your head scout, who is the person leading that department, is completely absent for whatever reason from the major scouting event on the NFL calendar, that's more than a small red flag. I think I wrote in the piece, what odds would Vegas give you on Scott McLuhan watching the first Redskins game of the season from the GM box? I don't think they'd be real high. And I think that an interesting story or angle going forward with the franchise is exactly where does Bruce Allen fit? What sort of football decision-making power does he have?
I thought he was a cap guy and a pants guy. I thought he did the uniforms and the cap.
That's what everybody's impression was. It was and probably is. But I think I don't know. I mean, this is a hard thing to report out because they don't. There's no transparency essentially, and it's a very difficult thing to get at the core of.
It's remarkable to me that nobody has written this. They're now the Chinese government. They just put stuff up on walls and you're supposed to interpret it, and they're never available, and
I think that's exactly right. And to go back to McLuhan, if you know that your general manager / head scout / chief football guy is not going to be at the scouting combine.
At the only place where live college players are all year gathered and have allowed themselves to be measured. Yeah.
How do you not get out in front of that and call the beat writers and say, hey, just a heads up, Scott's not going to be here. Here's why. Instead of waiting until the very capable beat writers show up in Indianapolis, ask where Scott is, have to start stalking executives in hotel lobbies to figure out which shouldn't be a mystery. It's just their capacity for bungling things like that is limitless. So
it leads to this. I mean, if you then telescope what all this comes down to, I think the most reasonable question would be, what are the chances that Kirk Cousins even plays this season for the Redskins?
I mean, I think that's on the table. I don't have that crystal ball. It's on the table because if he plays this season under the franchise tag,
then he's leaving.
He's gone. Mm-hmm. He's gone. So then where are you in, I mean, are we calling this a rebuilding? It's probably not even rebuilding.
Well, they didn't do anything to warrant rebuilding.
Right, and they're not stripping it down. But as we've talked about before, you know, losing Cousins sets you back sets you back further than you ever would have thought with this coach, because, you know, whatever we think of Kirk Cousins and the really bad pick at the end of the Giants game, he's a record-setting quarterback for this franchise. He's better if we listed the 32 starters, you know. He's not going to be in the top three, but he's not going to be out of the top 10 either.
I would have put him, you know, like somewhere between 10 and 15. But
well,
I mean, maybe.
I mean, we can go through that exercise.
So it's a
legitimate, what you're asking is a legitimate question, because if you play out the scenario in your head and he plays under the tag this year and he's gone, then do you get out in front of it and you almost have to trade him if he's not going to sign here long term? So
it's just weird.
I don't know.
It's weird.
That's pretty murky. I mean, but it's legitimate. It's a legitimate thing that you know all Redskins fans should be thinking about at this point.
So where are you this week? Which tournament are you in?
So I go to. It's great. I can go to New York and toggle between the ACC tournament in Brooklyn and the Big East tournament at the Garden.
Oh, okay.
So wherever the better game, the better story is of the day, I'll be at that one.
Quick thoughts on Georgetown? Or is there no such thing as quick thoughts on Georgetown?
Well, I mean, I will be at the Georgetown-St. John's game on Wednesday night simply because...
Will you wear the sweater? Will you see if you can get the sweater?
Maybe I'll just try to get the sweater. That'd be a great shtick, yeah. No, I'm curious as to what John Thompson III will say about the program, because on Saturday at the last home game, they got drilled by Villanova, and he, you know, a PR guy steps in and says he's only going to answer a question about the games. The games don't matter. So we'll see.
Fantastic.
That's where I'll be on Wednesday.
At some point, usually, because I remember going to the Big East tournaments many times, because it would be the only time Big John would talk. And it'd be the only time Patrick Ewing would talk, except he didn't actually talk. Patrick would say, you would ask him a question, and Patrick would say, could you repeat the question? And then you would repeat the question. And he said, I have no answer for that at this time. So you'd do that for 30 minutes. And John would smile approvingly because this was the coaching that was going on. On the other hand, John would do a full hour, and then Bill Shapland would drag him away because John could have done 5 hours.
I'm fine, Bill.
And that was the best.
That was awesome.
All of my good memories of John Thompson are at the Big East because he never talked anywhere else. He just didn't do it.
You weren't doing that in advance of a Big East tournament game featuring Creighton and Xavier.
No, no. It was usually a game. Georgetown would often open against Miami, where the score at the end of the first half would be 18-6. Nobody would make any shots. And then in the second half, Georgetown would score 45 or 50 points. Because Georgetown, in those days, for people that are young, was really good. Was really good. So, all right. So we'll talk to you soon. Thanks, Barry.
Appreciate it, Tony.
Barry Svrluga, boys and girls. Always a pleasure to have him. We will come back with news. Nigel will do news. I am Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? Posting your job in one place isn't enough to find qualified and quality candidates. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all the top job sites, and now you can. With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to 200-plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. Find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll in to ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No juggling emails or calls to your office.
Quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by Fortune 100 companies and thousands of small and medium-sized businesses. And right now, my listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/Tony. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Tony. One more time to try it for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/Tony.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show. Tony Kornheiser Show.
Sean Paul writes, I wanted to write to you guys to say thank you again for playing a song of ours a few months ago. Our band is called Eric in Outer Space for reasons I'm not sure of. But we're coming out with our first official vinyl in a few months. We're hoping we get one more shout out for the new single. This is Baby, You're No Good.
That's right.
This is the kind of rock and roll that I'm used to, garage band rock and roll, which I like a lot. I think that's really good. So, Michael, tell the people how they can send in their music.
They can send their music to jingles at tonykornheisershow.com.
And if anybody wanted to buy something?
Well, they can go to our micro site, shop.tonykornheisershow.com. And in the near future, they might find some March basketball-related goods.
Yeah, yeah, which would be great to have. You have news for us?
I do indeed, Mr. Tony. And one thing I'm not sure if you can get at the store is a Snuggie. Can you get a Snuggie at the store?
I don't know. They may all be mail order. I don't know.
A Snuggie, by the way, is it a blanket? Or is it a jacket?
Okay, well,
this is interesting.
Is it clothing? Is it a blanket?
Dessert
or
topping?
Or is it clothing?
Dessert topping? Or is it a floor cleaner?
So we've all seen these things. We've all seen them for years and years and years. The Snuggie. They always have a couple of old people, and they put their feet through it, and they wrap it around, and they zip it up.
Don't they all look like cult members?
Yes.
There's zippers?
I think it's just a hole that you stick your head through. Okay.
It's like a quarterback jacket.
Everybody has seen this. Everybody has seen this. So let's, and you're going to ask later why this is important, but let's go around the room. Tori, would you say that that is a blanket or clothing?
I would say it's a blanket. And I'm probably the only one in the room who's been the recipient of several Snuggies, so I can speak somewhat authoritatively.
Not clothing?
No, I think it's a blanket.
David?
I go blanket.
Not clothing.
I say blanket.
To me, I would have originally said clothing because you have to put it on. To me, the definition of a blanket would be I pick this thing up, I wrap it around myself, and it has another use. It has another use that it's, you know, is on the bed or
put
something
like
that.
Bodies into it.
But in a Snuggie, there was an affirmative act of climbing into it. So I would have thought that it was clothing.
It's the principle of verticality.
But the court ruled, this went to court.
Yes.
Now you would say to yourself,
what's important?
Why would this go to court? Why don't you explain?
Because there are tariffs involved as you import these goods, particularly from China, and the tariff on imported blankets.
So there's no Snuggie factory, let's say, in North Carolina?
Not yet.
Okay.
But once America's great again, I believe there will be Snuggie factories everywhere.
Everywhere.
Jobs everywhere.
The tariff on imported
millions of jobs.
Millions. Imported blankets, it's 8.5%. That's the tariff. And on pullover apparel, it's 14.9%.
So our government hoped that this would be adjudicated as clothing. I would have voted for clothing for the reasons I just stated, but it went the other way. So we're going to lose a bunch of money.
Well, the judge sided with Snuggie, saying that the product was a blanket, not clothing.
And what would you have said?
I think I was with you. I think if you wear it on any level.
I'm not saying you go out. I'm not saying somebody went, let me get my Snuggie and then we'll go out to dinner.
Right.
But if you, I think it's the act of climbing into this
thing. If you put it on, I mean, it's...
It has feet, doesn't it?
I think it's all about...
Do you have it? Does it have feet?
I've had several different versions. Again, I'm the only one here. I think it depends on where you put it when you're not using it. Mine gets folded up. Mine have gotten folded up and put in the closet with the other blankets and linens and things like that. They don't hang in the closet.
No.
That, what, do you put it next to your three-piece suits?
No. Leslie Visser used to store her sweaters in a stove. That didn't mean it wasn't a stove. Where you store it is, I'm sorry, where you store it isn't the most important thing. It's just not.
Just feels like clothing to me. I mean,
I think it's clothing. Michael?
I would say outerwear. I'm thinking, what are you wearing underneath the Snuggie as the deciding factor for me?
It's none of your business.
You don't want to know.
Just say it.
Another Snuggie.
Yeah.
So to speak.
So that's It's interesting. Because we're sort of split as to whether it's clothing or whether it's a blanket.
Well,
it's
Tony Kornheiser has a show digging into trade policy. Well,
you know.
This is a debate that will rage on for years, I'm sure.
Rage.
Rage against the dying of the land.
I think there's an opportunity to open a Snuggie factory.
There you go.
DK yes. Snuggies.
Hey,
and we'll sell them as clothing.
They would be clothing. I would not sell them as. You want a blanket? I'll sell you a blanket. This is clothing to me, right. But not to the government. Okay.
A few more teams, and I know you love this phrase. Have punched their ticket to the big dance.
There you go.
You mentioned it earlier in the SoCon Southern SoCon. Conference. East Tennessee State rather beats UNC.
They've
Greensboro.
Been there a lot. Yeah. The moccasins. They go there a lot.
Good team.
79-74. That's the nickname, the moccasins.
I believe so.
I think that's right.
As in the footwear or the
no,
snake.
The snake. The snake, I believe.
Do you put them on?
In the MAC.
I would say that they are a blanket, not clothing.
In the MAC.
Two A's, MAC.
Iona, in overtime over Siena.
Iona College.
We're upset.
Why?
Why are you upset?
Jimmy Patsos. Coaches Siena. Yes. It went to overtime.
Yeah.
We wanted Patsos to get into the tournament.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
and so feel bad about that.
I guess.
Right.
He was really sweaty afterwards.
And how do you pronounce this? The car? CAA?
CAA.
Is that how you pronounce it? The car?
The Colonial. Yes. I mean, the Colonial used to be. The Colonial was a better conference 10 years ago than it is now. Some of their good teams moved on to the Atlantic 10.
Was Old Dominion in that conference?
They were at one point.
They were.
Okay.
I think.
UNC Wilmington.
I think they're in Conference USA now.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Jeff Jones.
Did he make it?
I don't think they made it this year.
UNC Wilmington is in that conference, and they are going to the NCAA tournament after a 78-69 win over Charleston.
Still in that
Charleston was playing at home. Charleston was
supposed
to be
pretty
good.
Still.
Never.
No big dance.
Never. But, again, not a power conference.
No.
Not a power conference. There are some – in the America East, for example, I'm not sure that Maine or New Hampshire or Stony Brook
– Maine's having a good year, though, right?
Maine stinks. Maine stinks.
Vermont. Vermont's
in their semifinal.
Vermont's crushing.
Ooh, did you see the score against New Hampshire?
No.
It's UConn women's 74-41.
That's bad.
Yeah.
Right.
It's not good. So they go into the finals. I'm not sure.
Yeah, Vermont's really good this year.
Stony Brook has a chance to be in, but I don't know who. Like Mass Lowell, they've never been in.
Is that right?
Yeah, they've never been in.
I know. Well,
but they're a new school. I mean, they're a new D1 school.
Okay.
If you're thinking it's been a while since the Capitals have lost at home, you'd be right. It's they haven't lost a regulation game at home since December 17th, and any kind of game at home, which I guess would mean overtime,
really?
Since December 29th. Well, that streak ended last night when they lost to the Dallas Stars 4-2.
By the way, who they never beat.
Yes,
Dallas has their number.
Yes.
Did you watch?
I did watch, and it's one of the first home games in a long time we haven't attended, so I think that's why they lost. Yeah, they have it for whatever reason. They have a problem with Dallas. They all kind of said, we don't know why, we do, and Holtby had to be pulled out, and their goalie was fantastic.
Yes.
I think the Caps, twice as many shots on goal as Dallas, but still, he got them all. Sad, but it had to end at some point.
Caps,
they're still the best.
They still have the best record by 5 points. I'm seeing here.
This is, by the way, these are the salad days of Ted Leonsis.
Yeah, he's chesty now.
Yeah, if you thought he was chesty before, because he's got two teams that are very good.
Yes,
very good right now, and winning at home all the time.
Yes. Oh, and continuing the great fan experience of Caps games, but just the Verizon Center in general, I got there a little late on Saturday night, and Brian had texted me my ticket, but there were so many people on their phones. You know how the whole system slows down?
Yeah.
You can't
access stuff. No idea, because I actually like to have a ticket in my hand.
A fantastic security guy felt sorry for me. He goes, no, come on, this is happening. And he took me somewhere, and they fixed it, and they couldn't have been nicer, and he wouldn't take a tip.
That's very nice.
It's absolutely lovely.
That's what you want.
Doing my job, ma'am.
When you own a restaurant, you know what you want? You want the people at the door to be very welcoming.
Yes.
You want the servers to come over and say, how's everything? Is there anything I can get you? Mm-hmm. You don't want to have to raise your hand and call somebody over. You want to have to do that.
We'd recommend not using that tone.
Here's what you don't want. You don't want the woman from Hell or High Water.
No, you don't. The T-bone steak.
Yeah, what don't you want?
We don't want that.
Apparently, Mr. Tony, everyone is going to be standing up for the national anthem again. Colin Kaepernick made Kaepernick.
Well, that's because he became a free agent and would like to be employed.
Right. Mm-hmm. He said, well, he will now. And he said, well, I believe that there's been some change and I believe we've done good work and now I will stand for this. Megan Rapinoe from the U.S. women's team said that she.
Which she's been told.
Yes.
And she said, okay.
Yes, she will respect that. Because U.S. soccer said, for the men's, said, anyways, we would like everyone, we will require everyone to stand. And then Alexi Lalas, who no longer plays, said, yeah, you're damn right, I would stand, yeah. And everyone should stand.
It's an interesting thing. I thought it would be a much bigger story than it was.
Mm-hmm.
In most of the leagues, not the NFL, but I'm pretty sure that in both baseball and the NBA, it's in the contract that the players sign. Right, that they stand.
Well, it says they have. It's the language is kind of murky, but it says they have to stand. They have to stand. Yeah.
Right. This goes all the way back to Chris Jackson.
Correct.
And it's a long time ago. Who mm-hmm. became
Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf.
Who was? By the way, he's the fastest person dribbling
I've 35
ever
a game.
Seen.
He'd average 35 a game with these rules.
When he was at LSU, I just said you can't guard him.
You can't.
Guard you
him.
Cannot guard
and
him.
He could shoot. Ridiculous
yeah.
range. Yeah.
So I thought this would be, and I'm curious, Tori, what you thought, and David, I thought this would be a much bigger deal than it was, and it was not only not a big deal, it was no deal.
Mm-hmm.
It was no deal. And everybody in the NFL had people doing it, and it was no deal at all.
I think people should be allowed to protest, right? Whatever you think of Colin Kaepernick, like good for him, right? He's got an opinion about something. He took the consequences that came along with it.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I love about this country is people's ability and right and freedom to protest and say, I don't like this. I'm going to demonstrate and say, like, don't burn stuff. Don't torch people's property and things like that. But I liked it. And I don't like that the leagues are coming up with these rules. Mm-hmm. I just don't.
Arian Foster, the running back from Texas, the mm-hmm. Texans, who has said unbelievably stupid things in his life. For example, yesterday, when he said, I could fight a wolf and I would win because I have a thumb.
Yeah.
And I said in response, well, what happens when the wolf bites off your thumb
exactly.
and you're even at
seconds.
That point? And he was going on and on. He was overthinking this to a degree that was monumentally crazy. And I don't know how serious he was. But anyway, he said stuff like that. He also said in the period of time when people were sitting or kneeling or whatever they were doing, he said the smartest thing that I heard. Which was, we have a right to protest, and you have a right to protest our protest.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It seems
that's
seems
the whole
like,
point.
Yeah.
That's the whole point.
Seems
the whole point.
To me, you know. Are you surprised that it fizzled. Well, I don't know if it fizzled. It just didn't do anything.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure what, I don't know what the next step would have been. I mean.
Boycott?
Well, yeah. I mean, what are you going to do?
Nobody's going to do that. It's money.
Kneel for a minute and a half. Hopefully, it's a minute and a half. Some people take it out to 3 minutes.
Yeah, it's a long anthem.
Yeah. It's just, come on. Just sing the song. Come on.
Let's
stop.
Move.
Yeah, move it along.
While we're still young.
Exactly.
But I thought it was going to be, and it isn't. It wasn't.
No.
And teammates were, and this was what was interesting to me. Teammates were very respectful of their teammates who chose to protest.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they also chose not to.
Right.
And it didn't seem to have consequences right. in the internal framework of the team, which I thought was great.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
It shows
yeah.
a level of maturity yeah. and understanding and appreciation, which is nice.
Yeah. All right. Are we done with news?
One final thing. A melancholy at betrayals to Robert Osborne of Turner Classic Movies.
Yes.
Passed away yesterday at the age
84.
Of 84. Had been with Turner Classic Movie since its first broadcast, April 14th of 1994. And for those that are familiar with Turner Classic Movies, I mean,
sure.
he really was just this wonderful friendly
everything.
Face. He knew everything about every movie.
He did.
And introduce every movie.
Right, and was your great friend. They said, come on in, let's watch this great movie, and mm-hmm. I'll tell you a little bit about it.
I had an opportunity once to do three favorite movies, which they have.
Yes.
And I didn't do it because you had to go to Atlanta.
Oh.
And I didn't want to go to Atlanta
what would
and
you
do that.
Three?
I don't even. It didn't matter because I knew I wouldn't do it. And I never got to talk to him, but I got to talk to somebody
producer.
In the office.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but he was great.
He was great. Terrific.
All right.
Yes.
So we'll take a break. We will come back with Old Guy. We're going to do trivia in Old Guy, and I am going to.
You're
going to
get killed again.
You're not going to necessarily get killed. And I want to mention, I'll tell you about an upcoming movie that I think we're all going to want to watch. I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Here's the SeatGeek ad. Buying tickets to sports and concerts can be way too complicated, but there is a better, simpler way to buy with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to live events. With SeatGeek's seamless mobile experience, you can buy and sell tickets in just two taps, and I assume that's on your phone. The sort of the way that Tori carries her tickets around in her phone, which is too advanced for me. SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. There's nothing quite like seeing your favorite team or musician in person, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for great value. SeatGeek saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. And to get you the most bang for your buck, SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket, from sports and concerts to comedy and theater. Best of all, listeners to this fine podcast will get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. And to do that, here's what you do. You download the SeatGeek app, S-E-A-T-G-E-E-K. You go to the settings tab and you click on add a promo code. And when that comes up, the promo code you add is Tony, T-O-N-Y. And SeatGeek will send you $20 after you have made your first ticket purchase. They will not send you a Snuggie, but they will send you $20. Download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code Tony today.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
These are the Zombies. This is Old Guy Radio for the day. This is She's Not There. The bassist of this group, Chris White, is 74 years old today. In terms of critical commentary, I always like them. I love this song. I love Tell Her No. I love the album Odyssey and Oracle. They were smart, like the Kinks. They wrote interesting songs, and they were their delivery was very cool. I mean, this is not the Rolling Stones who David discovered about an hour ago.
Who?
Singing was always very cool sounding. Cool sounding, not cool in the sense of, wow, that's a cool thing. No, like cold. Like just cold, and I always liked them a lot. So
you saw them recently, right?
I did. Well, a year ago. I saw them for about an hour, and then they took a long break, and I was done. I mean, because enough's enough. It was 8 o'clock. Stop.
They needed a rest.
So Michael has some trivia. Before we get to the trivia, I do want to tell us. There was a wonderful thing that I saw in the paper today, and it is that a movie has been commissioned. A movie of the Washington Post's involvement with the Pentagon Papers, yes, which predates me going there.
Right.
I went there in 1979, and this predates that. And the people involved in this, it's Tom Hanks and Meryl Streep, who are not only great actors, but are very, very political people, which we know to be true, and on the blue side of the aisle, not the red side of the aisle. And Steven Spielberg is going to direct it. Tom Hanks is going to play Ben Bradley, and Meryl Streep is going to play Katharine Graham. And this means that Ben Bradley will have been portrayed in his life by two Oscar winners, Jason Robards Jr., who I believe won an Oscar for his portrayal in All the President's Men of Ben Bradley, and now Tom Hanks, who many people will tell you is the greatest living American actor at this point. I mean, certainly Wilbon will tell you that if you call him now. And Meryl Streep, I understand she's overrated. I understand that. Sad at failing Meryl Streep. Sad. But, I mean, that's a wow. You'll see this. I'll see this.
Of course. Absolutely.
We got to start angling for your tickets to the premiere now.
Exactly.
Who knows when it'll be made.
Plus one or plus four in this case.
I'll go see it. It doesn't matter. I mean, I'll just go see it. I'll pay money and go see
it. It matters. Of course it matters.
He did indeed. Jason Robards won an Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor.
Because unless you watch your news channel 8, you can't see this, but he won it for doing that when he was done. Ben Bradley had no attention span. Zero. When you went into Ben's office to talk to Ben, you were on the clock. You had less than a minute and sometimes 30 seconds. He would just stand up after about 30 seconds, and he'd start walking out. You were still talking. So you didn't have much time. So when he did, that meant, okay, we're done. We're good. We're moving on. So, okay. Michael has some trivia.
So again, these are questions from Trivia at Chad's last night. This is curated by District Trivia.
7:30 on Mondays, kids.
And if you are enjoying Trivia at Chad's, you can vote for Chad's as DC's best trivia in the Washington City paper.
Ooh.
Really? You can do that. Okay. What happens if they win?
You're probably on the hook for something.
Everybody gets a car.
Put one of those posters in the window.
Do we know who won last night? Did Moose Cans win last night?
Team Moose Cans has a new name, which you'll hear about in email. But yes, we have a new winner from last night.
Okay,
all right,
go.
So this is a grouping of six rounds with a variety of difficulties, so we'll see how you do. What term is used to refer to a strong dark beer made using roasted malts and roast barley?
Tori.
Lager?
David. I'm not
Pilsner?
I'm not
Stout?
A beer person.
Let's use clue words from the question to answer this. Okay. What term is used to refer to a strong dark beer made using roasted malts?
I think Tori's. I think stout. Barley. I think stout. You're right. I think stout.
Stout is a good stout answer, correct?
Okay, good, Tori.
At sea level...
David sinking into his seat.
Sad. Sad.
At failing David Aldridge. Sad.
At sea level, what travels 343.2 meters per second, or approximately 768 miles per hour?
At sea level?
At sea level.
It's not an alligator, is it?
No, it's not Captain Antonio.
Who's that basketball player Captain you guys were talking about earlier?
Chris Jackson. At sea level, it's probably, it's, what's the fastest sound?
Sound.
I mean, it's not like a humming.
You think it's sound?
Sound.
You don't think it's like a cheetah?
No animal goes 700 miles an hour.
Bobcat does.
Okay.
Sound is a correct answer.
Yes!
David. Sound answer.
David.
Good job, David.
In the story of Aladdin from the Arabian Nights, what country is Aladdin from?
Djibouti? Is that...
I don't know, but it's probably on one of that band list now. Probably couldn't get in on his flying carpet now.
I don't...
Afghanistan, I don't know.
Aladdin. Persia. Arabia.
Persia?
He's from Ireland, isn't he?
China.
China?
I didn't know. He's from China?
China.
China.
All right, didn't know that.
All right.
On the television show, The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, what is the last name of Will's aunt and uncle?
Oh, God. Okay, why did we all look at David when that question was
asked?
Because
David has been compared to Carlton his entire life. Wait,
so the Negro has to know this question, is that correct?
I didn't
look at you, David.
I don't know.
Did.
I don't know. I have no
I don't know.
I never watched it.
I didn't watch it.
I watched it. I have no idea.
You can take this answer to the...
Bank.
Banks.
Okay,
Banks.
The Banks.
Of course.
Okay.
Carlton Banks, of course.
In air conditioners...
Saving Mr. Banks.
What does BTU stand for?
British Thermal Units.
Wow. That was correct.
Yeah, I got that.
Was for
Good
Nigel.
Job, old man.
British Thermal Units. Yeah.
Who wrote the poem, The Rhyme of the Ancient Mariner?
Samuel Coleridge.
Yeah, Coleridge, that's right.
Wow. You were an English major.
I was an English major.
Powering through those.
I was.
Okay,
well, British Thermal Units came up a lot in English.
Follow-up trivia question, English major. How do you spell rhyme?
R-H-Y-M-E.
I don't think so. It was in a crossword puzzle yesterday. I think it's R-I-M-E.
Correct.
Oh, okay. Rhyme of the Ancient.
So take that back. You take that back.
From right. I got half off. Go
Let's see if any of you can get this. Tori Micah, she has kids, who are of this age group. Which Mortal Kombat character used the phrase, get over here?
Shemp.
No. never let my kids play those games. They just Mortal play with wooden toys.
Wolverine. Is he in Mortal Kombat?
No, he's in X-Men.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Mario.
Strike Force.
Scorpion.
I didn't know.
Right, okay.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Scorpion.
I've never played the game.
I thought you might guess Scorpion or Sub-Zero. At least you know the fridge.
Sub-Zero, now plain zero.
Yeah.
No, I remember that from The Running Man.
From The Running Man.
Which U.S. president died of acute laryngitis in 1799?
Washington.
Acute laryngitis. That sounds...
Yeah, it would be Washington, wouldn't it? Because he was...
David might be right on that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm going with David.
It's not Lincoln. He was later.
That was acute something.
History has its eyes on you. Correct answer, Mr.
Aldridge. History major.
David, you're crushing.
Did you know that?
Yes.
Okay.
Couldn't be any other
So that's
president.
What's going to happen to Ian Conn? Ian Conn's going
Don't
out that
spoilers.
Way.
Spoilers.
Yeah. Sorry. You're the doctor that has to diagnose him. We talked about that with him. In your small
doctor,
role in turn.
Oh, is that
Dr.
right?
Kornheiser. Dr. Kornheiser.
Oh, the doctor, professor.
you need to work for the last couple of those titles. Whose last words were, I have not told half of what I saw?
Ooh, I have not told half of what I saw.
Got a lot of funny
last
answers
words.
In my head.
I don't.
Benedict Arnold.
I have no idea.
Mark Twain.
All right. This relates to a pool game.
A pool game like billiards pool.
Oh, Marco Polo.
Correct.
Oh, okay.
Marco Polo.
Okay, I didn't
good
know
clue.
That pool.
Good clue.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
I'm having a good day so far.
You are.
Yes.
Which American?
Well, you can't count that. You got a clue. Stop.
That's a half a point. Come on.
You didn't guess with the clue.
Right. We got to fill the airtime with something. All right. Which American poet wrote the poem "Captain, Oh My Captain"?
Walt Whitman.
Correct.
Jesus. With the, okay. Enough with the poetry,
English
for
major,
God's sake.
Okay.
Really.
Okay.
Quit history. Quit sucking up your father.
I'm not. I was sort of was hoping to find a gap in his English background.
Walt Whitman.
Within three.
High school named after him on Long Island.
High school named after him.
Around here, too. Yeah.
I think they just found some novel that he had not, that never been published before.
Oh, they always say that.
Yeah.
Like some money-grubbing distant relatives.
Yeah, it was. That's what he wrote.
It was Leaves of Weeds. Yeah. It was the follow-up, the sequel.
I hear America singing. Within 3 years, in what year was Ken introduced to Barbie?
1961.
He says that with great authority, doesn't he?
Mm. Barbie's got to be about 65 years old now. That I'm going to go later. I'm going to go later. 65? I'm going to go 68.
68?
I'm going to go 70. I'll go 1970.
65.
The answer is 1961, but why did you say that with such conviction?
Because he had one as a kid?
No. No, I did not. I had Evel Knievel dolls as a kid.
How did you know it was 61?
It just sounded good to me.
That was good.
Is an Evel Knievel toy a doll?
I don't know. I don't know.
It was an action figure.
You have to throw it over the Snake River Canyon.
No, you would have,
you have to throw it.
No, he had the sky cycle.
It didn't
want
to go.
And he had the car, and he had to crank. You had to crank it up.
Did you get Robbie Knievel, too?
No, just Evel. Okay. Robbie's a knockoff. Yeah. Well, get Evel. That was one of my favorite toys because it actually worked. You could jump over stuff. It was cool.
So this is rated as a difficult question, but I think it's going to play pretty easy for you. During which 2 months of the year do equinoxes occur?
December and June.
No, I'm going the other way. I'm going absolutely the other way. I'm going to say March and September.
I'm going December and June.
I'm going to say summer.
March and September.
Oh! I believe I had that.
Wow.
Next vernal week, equinox.
Autumnal.
Yeah.
Next week, we'll have something about the phases of the moon for you.
I had that.
Good. Right. Seven new planets. Nicely done. Yes.
Well
done.
And our last question for you. In 1987, what accessory did U.S. Surgeon General C. Everett Koop recommend be removed from Mr. Potato Head toys?
What accessory? All right, I'm gonna guess that in Mr. Potato Head toys that what he would be worried about is children eating these things off the Mr. Potato Head doll.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to say the ears. I'm going to say the ears should be removed.
But all the parts could be removed. That was the essence. I would say.
But
the bow tie.
I remember.
No, I was
going to
say bow tie also. Okay. Bow tie.
What's wrong with the bow tie?
Well, C. Everett Koop occasionally wore bow ties, so maybe he was resentful.
Yes.
Was it bow tie?
The answer is not bow tie. I just wondered where that came from.
As the answer, ears.
The answer is definitely not ears.
Oh.
It's like a knife or a gun.
What is it? What?
A knife or a gun?
What? Mr. Potato Head?
Nunchucks. Mr. Potato Head, nunchucks.
In England, we had different versions of Mr. Potato Head.
His pipe.
Oh, there you go.
Oh,
that makes sense.
Seems a little early to take the pipe away, but yes, his pipe.
Makes sense.
C. Everett Koop, he had the weird beard.
Yes.
Yes,
he
did.
He had the weird
beard. The Lincoln
beard. As the Surgeon General.
What was the name of the...
Do you know that when you meet the Surgeon General, you actually do say general? I mean,
is that right?
Yeah, that's okay, the,
who
yes,
was
general,
the woman,
proper way general.
Oh, who was the female surgeon general?
Joycelyn Elders.
Right? I went with, there's a great photographer, Bill Fitzpatrick, and for some reason I was with him when he was going to take pictures, her official portrait.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's getting very lovely lady and getting ready and this and that, and Fitz is doing his stuff and this and that. And he just kind of looks at her and says, "What's with the uniform, by the way?" Like, and he meant, "Where did it?" And she goes, "I don't know. I got the job. They just handed it to me. I put it on."
Yeah.
Absolutely no idea why she was wearing it.
It's a military uniform.
Yeah.
And you are supposed to address the person as general.
General.
Sure.
As general, which is
general
sort of weird. I just want to mention this one thing. I saw something on Sunday night on 60 Minutes that I thought was absolutely brilliant. It was a TikTok story about what happened to that ship, the El Faro, the cargo ship that went down.
Mm-hmm.
It was recreated through
computer
emails and texts and stuff that.
Okay.
And in it, it's totally heartbreaking, in which the parents of a couple of the people who died on board, they had texted their parents. And one woman said, and I knew in that moment, I knew my daughter was gone. I knew that ship was going to go down in the sort of plaintive way that that the text appeared. It's a fascinating story, and it makes it seem like that there was no reason for this to have happened, that changing course was absolutely reasonable, and the captain had been literally asleep in his stateroom mm-hmm. and didn't change course.
I'm tempted to ask you how you got from the Surgeon General to that.
I don't know. I've just written it down.
Do you know, just going with ships going down, you know, after the Titanic sunk? Some weeks later, the White Star Line sent bills to the relatives of the people who were in the band, the infamous band that played on, charging them for the uniform.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, my God. Unbelievable.
On that happy
note. Talk about being tone deaf.
Okay, so
yes, we'll get on here.
It's a big piece of wood. Why couldn't Rose let him on the wood with
it? It's been proven.
Plenty of room for two.
Scientists have actually gotten into heated debates with James Cameron.
Yes, come on. You're just supposed to be the love of your life. Make some room.
Can you not slide over? You know,
she killed him.
No, they knew. They knew he was going to totally overact down the road. They knew, so she didn't want him.
All right, we'll take
a break.
Get off my wood.
Email and a jingle when we return. I am Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Keys.
She said it give me lessons. Mamisha's hand gestures. An incoherent child, let me testify. Oh, mommy, mommy, mommy. I am learning nothing. My piano train is gonna ride. And it sounds like.
I don't know how to play.
Even though
really know how to play.
Luke Overby of Charleston, South Carolina writes, the story of Misha, Tori's Russian piano teacher, is really unbelievable. This one is to Alicia Keys, You Don't Know My Name. Joe Arrow performs a great vocal as always, and Robert Berg and Anthony Beeson put out some great cameos as Misha and Tori's kid, respectively.
That's exactly what they're playing sounds like.
Before we get into the mailbag, I want to say thank you to Barry's Verluga for coming on with us. I also want to thank our sponsors today, SeatGeek, ZipRecruiter, and Blue Apron. Please support them the way they support our podcast. Let me cough here. You didn't hear that, I don't think.
No.
Remember to listen and to subscribe to new and archived episodes of the Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including iTunes, Spotify, and Google Play. And if you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. Paul Connolly in Pennsylvania writes, FBI Director James Comey is 6'8".
No.
He towers over the Donald.
No.
I have seen pictures of him.
He's a tall guy.
He looks really tall.
Tall guy.
6'8".
Wow.
James Comey, wow.
It's like Arnie Duncan size.
It's not even sneaky tall.
Yeah. That's tall. No. Dina in Damascus, while enjoying and winning trivia tonight, I was so thrown off by the lack of a good porter that I answered porter to the trivia question that was actually stout, which Tori got here. Tell Super G to get those craft beers flowing. But the hummus was quite good, especially the pitas. And from Claire Natola, after several weeks of being the bridesmaid, Team Moose Cans was finally victorious Monday night at Chad's and Trivia. No steak knives for us. We smoked the second place team by 32 points. What was the key to our success? Could it have been that Johnny Fox and Jenny Robbins joined our team for the first time? Perhaps Jen Babish, Mark Schaefer, and Dina Yagodich did some extra lifting during the week? Or could it have been our temporary team name change to Trump Tower Tappers? That's funny. I'm sure it had nothing to do with the absence of our names. The victims of Bowling Green Massacre. Whatever our secret was, we look forward to employing it next week to defend our title when legendary littles Bill LaHecka and Joe Arrow make an appearance.
Wow.
Thanks, as always, for facilitating great times with fellow littles. From Bill Irwin, from Richmond, Virginia, who is now an expat residing in Bomet, Kenya. I'm a loyal little living in Bomet, Kenya. The woman to whom I'm related by marriage is the OBGYN at a missionary hospital, and I write grants for the hospital. I'm the only little out in the bush, but I spent the weekend trying to convert some of the local denizens. These pictures were taken about 70 kilometers from our hospital in the Masai Mara Game Conservancy. The giraffes, and yes, old sport, they are tall, seemed interested, but elephants were indifferent. I want to thank you, Nigel, and the crew, providing me for an hour or so of home each day. You guys are an extended family that's just the right touch of insanity, which allows me to maintain my sanity. We have elections coming up in August. I think you would be a formidable candidate, and if you lose, you could lead the monkey and baboon rebellion. And he sent some pictures with the sticker awesome. And everything near...
These pictures are on his Twitter account as
very
well.
Very nice. Okay. Tina Young in Omaha, Nebraska. Even though I live in Omaha and not Washington, D.C., I've been very concerned about this Chuck Bell and Sheena Barveen situation. Not only do I hear you talk about them frequently, now I see them regularly because for some reason, the Hulu shows the Storm Team promos all the time. I get so excited when I'm watching an episode of Chicago Fire. Don't judge me. I like it. And I hear the promos and I look up and see Chuck and Sheena and the rest of the Storm Team. Please keep us littles updated about this. Sheena seems very competent, but I don't want Chuck to lose his job while on vacation. Well, again, he rushed home.
Cut
he
it
had
short.
A one-day vacation.
I'm back.
Yeah, I'm rushed done. Home.
He
recharged.
Knew something was going on.
From Sam Angel in Drexel Hill, Pennsylvania. With all due respect to Mr. Tornicello, I would like to submit my Drexel Dragons as a competitor for the title of official women's lacrosse team of the Tony Kornheiser Show. I'm the sports information director for the Dragons and therefore have access to and will be sending the type of swag that typically consummates such deals on this particular show.
There you go.
I can also assure the estimable Mr. Saliza that out of respect to him, we have not played and therefore cannot beat the Georgetown Hoyas this season. Though in the interest of full disclosure, we did wipe the floor with the estimable David Aldridge's American
what?
Eagles
what?
Last week, 14-3.
What?
Drexel's women's lacrosse swag will be arriving shortly, and this should be very simple. If Bonnie displays it in the background of the PTI set, I'll know I have a partner. If she doesn't, I know I don't. From Renee Jimenez in Surprise, Arizona, I was wondering if you could give a big shout out to Lori Schumann for me. Last Thursday, these are the
done.
Letters. Last Thursday around 11 p.m., while many of you were well into your slumber, I ordered a TK shirt on your website. When ordering the shirt, I accidentally selected overnight shipping. As soon as I realized I spent Wilbon money on a T-shirt, I immediately emailed the store explaining it was a mistake. I didn't intend to spend $87.23. Wow.
No one would.
Wow, to have the shirt shipped overnight. I awoke the very next morning, 7 a.m. Arizona time, to a wonderful email from Lori explaining that my $66 was refunded and that my shirt was going to be shipped out that day. I am extremely surprised and happy of how quickly the problem was solved. So I want to say thank you to Lori and the TK store for great customer service. P.S. I received the shirt today. Fits like a glove. Almost as if they got a hold of my measurements that I took using a rope and a yardstick. Can't wait to wear it.
Works every time.
If you're out on your bike time, everyone, as always, do wear white.
Next on OPN, America's Funniest OnStar Calls.
Stay.